stayed with me since that time. He just read a portion of the first verse. And I'd like to read that tonight because it's really important to us. He read this. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." Then he said, "That's all I need." And you know what? That was true then. It's true tonight, isn't it? I never forgot that. There's a lot of stories about Brother Henderson, but that one stuck with me. That same night, he said, "I could ask you to look with me in the 119th Psalm." He said, "Because I've been led to preach an expository message on it." And all the preachers groaned. If you were here that night, you might remember that. I told Nancy just a few minutes ago, and I'm going to ask you to look with me in the book of 2 Timothy in chapter number 4. I told Nancy a few minutes ago, I said, "You know, it's 7 o'clock already." But that's a private joke between her and I, because the time flew all day. But I'm glad I'm here tonight. And I hope when this night comes to an end and we start going to places of rest tonight, you'll be glad that you've been here also. I was telling Brother Mark Clark today, he talked about his dog spreading out on the bed. Nancy and I had a little dog. I don't know how big your dog is, brother, but ours was a small one. But one night, about 2 o'clock in the morning, I turned over in bed, and that thing got the biggest bite out of my big toe I ever felt in my life. I hollered. I couldn't get over it, you know. I said, "Oh, that thing has killed me." But my wife loved her, and our kids loved her. But it's good to be here tonight. I want to bring a message tonight of God will help me. I appreciate your prayers. And I'm glad it came to this place and this time. I'm thankful to be here tonight. And I'm thankful to be with you, brethren. And publicly, I want to thank the church. Your hospitality has always been great every year. The food has been outstanding. You've been so kind and gracious to all of us. And then to Brother and Sister Titus. And I know it's by the grace of God that we'd get to know and love people like you all. So we're glad to be here. But there's something on my heart. And I hope the Lord will help me to preach it tonight. Because I believe it's a serious issue in the day that you and I live. We can all say, "Well, it's the last times." But I'm finding that what I heard years ago in conferences and what the Bible tells me tonight is very true. A lot of folks have gone by the wayside. I don't mean that the Lord's taken them home, because that's glorious when the Lord takes us home. You know, our aches and pains are over with. And we're home with Jesus. And you see, one day there'll be a great reunion up there. I think of some of these brethren that have gone on before us. But what I want to try to preach a message on tonight is spiritual dropouts. And I believe we're in the midst of that tonight. I'm not trying to be a smart aleck like I know it all, but it is a concern to me. Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy the truth and sell it not." And I'm not preaching this to discourage you or discourage myself, because I recognize tonight in this time that we live in, we are in the last days. I'm not looking for something grand and glorious, except I'm looking for Jesus tonight. And I believe He's coming. But in the meantime, I see this and I recognize it, I believe, for what it is. Look in verse 1. Let me just read. I'm going to read quite a few verses. But I want you to see some things with me, if you will. Paul writes to the young preacher Timothy, and he said, "I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Now notice what He said. Preach the Word. Brethren, that's what we're to do tonight. And I don't want to be accused of being a dropout. I'm not looking for something new or different. I'd rather, as Brother Clark used to say, I'd rather be old-timey and stay with the right way. Preach the Word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That time is now. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I'm now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, and Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. The cloak that I left at Troas with Carpus when thou comest, bring with thee. And the books, but especially the parchments. I believe the most wonderful thing that you and I can do tonight is to do what Paul wrote to Timothy early on in that chapter, and that's to preach the Word of God. I don't have anything else to say tonight, except to say what God said. And I'm thankful tonight that God has given us a message, you see. When we look into His Word and He guides us to do what He wants us to do and to say, I trust tonight, what He wants us to say. But Paul valued the Word of God. And that was important to him. Then now notice in the remaining verses, Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. And I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto His heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Look back, please, with me in verse 10, if you would. Because we read here of a spiritual dropout. Demas had forsaken him, he said. He said, for Demas hath forsaken me. And when we look at the next part of that verse, he said, having loved this present world. If we had something to say tonight that I believe is important tonight, is to every believer in Jesus Christ in this house tonight. Stay away from the world. Stay out of the world. Don't mix with the world tonight. Because the world is out there to drag you down. After all, who is the God of this world? He can't take your salvation, my friend, if you're saved tonight. But he sure can influence you, and he knows exactly what he's doing and how to do it to entice us. You say, well, he's subtle. Yes, he is. But he knows the weakness of man tonight. He knows worldliness. He knows what the world's like. He knew what it was for Demas to be a spiritual dropout. And I believe tonight, with all my heart, this is a warning. Not just for you all that's sitting out there, for myself also tonight. It's a warning to me tonight to be careful and not to indulge in the things of this world. So you might say tonight, you might say, well, he preached about backsliding. Well, if that's what you get from it, then that's good too. Because we can backslide. I heard one fellow say one time, I don't believe in backsliding. Well, that was the difference between him and me, because the Bible talks about backsliding, doesn't it? You see, the Bible, beloved, clearly instructs us to bring our children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And there's a reason for it. God knows what He's doing, you see. So that when, you might say, well, why is that? It's so that when they grow up, the Word of God will influence every area of their lives. I've known the pastor of this church for a good long while now. And I know the reason he preaches what he does is because he loves his people. And he's concerned, and I believe every one of us, brethren, ought to be concerned that our people understand what's right and what's wrong and the harm in indulging in it. I could go over some of your messages that have been preached that I've been privileged to hear in this conference. I think they've been outstanding. God has blessed you, brethren, and they've been sensational as far as I'm concerned. But you see, God tells we who are adults tonight, in this Word of God, look across the page in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. We have a responsibility. He tells us over there to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What do you think of the Bible tonight? I'm only talking about the King James Bible. Talking about that's right, brother, it is the only one. I'm talking about the Word of God. And what's your opinion of it tonight? Do you value it enough and treasure it enough to be guided by it? Or could it be said of us that if we don't, we're on the way to spiritual dropoutism, if there is such a word? Church members and adults, and we preachers aren't exempt from being a potential dropout. I've seen in the last few years people that have believed or claim to believe what we believe tonight, and they're not among us anymore. They're not with us anymore. I feel sorry for them. I'm not angry with them. I feel sorry for them. Because the saints and the brethren that have preached from this pulpit over the years are home with the Lord now, and the same truth that they preached in this pulpit, I trust is being preached, and I know it is, till this very day. That's something to rejoice in and to be thankful for. I should mention here also that if we don't, according to my Bible, in Hebrews chapter 12, God will come after us, doesn't He? He'll chasten those whom He loves and scourgeth every son that He receiveth. So it's important that we believe truth, we live by truth, we practice truth, then, if you will, and we teach and preach the truth of the Word of God. But that's another sermon. Now, there's three definite experiences that Paul had in his life here that I want to share with you tonight. In verse 7 of 2 Timothy 4, he first says that I have fought a good fight. And it must be a good fight. And specifically, the life of the preacher or the pastor is also a particular kind of warfare, or as Paul says in the book of Hebrews, a race to be run. Said, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And so He uses that illustration many times. Then he said, I have finished my course. And life is a course. God's got a path for us to follow. And if we follow according to the Word of God, if we receive what God says in His Word and practice what we preach, or practice and teach and preach the Word of God, then we're in good shape. If we don't, God's going to deal with it. So Paul's race is just about to be finished running here. Then one thing he said in that seventh verse also, he said, I have kept the faith. I believe that when he uses that expression, the faith, I believe that's the body of revealed truth in the Word of God. And we're supposed to keep that. If we'll keep it and preach it and teach it and stand by it, then I believe God's going to bless. If we turn away from it, then we're in for trouble. Then he said, first of all, though, concerning the fight. He said, it's a good fight. And it is a good fight, the good fight of faith. It's a good warfare because the cause is good and the victory is sure. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 15, thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory, not in us, not in what we've done, but through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's important that we not ignore what God tells us in the Bible. And let me say this, if I may, the end never justifies the means. There are those tonight who want to tell you, here's a better way, here's a smoother way, try this way to get more people to come to church. Well, we don't have a gymnasium, we don't have a bowling alley. We can't offer that to you. But we do go and knock on doors. We do tell people about our church. In fact, I wore my wife out last fall going door to door. Now that the weather's better, maybe she'll go back out with me again. But some of the brethren have come and gone with us door to door. You see, I believe tonight when we're going to do God's work, we need to be careful that we don't become spiritual dropouts and we do His work His way. He's given us a successful way. I'm not looking for something else. And it will be, when we think about it tonight, it will be a comfort to a dying child of God when he looks back on his life and says, yes, I have kept the faith. I've finished my course. I've fought a good fight. When we do what God wants us to do. Maybe it's not a perfect fight, but I've been blessed to know men that have stood by the Word right down to their dying breath. Because that's the only way to live, and they knew it, and they were happy doing what God would have them to do. You see, they've gone through the fire, and they didn't quit. What an example they were to us. And how thankful I am that God has privileged me to know these men. Let me show you a verse over in Acts 20 and verse 24, if you will. May it be said of us that we could say as Paul did, he said, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Now listen, that I might finish my course with joy. How does that affect us tonight? Are we on the same path that we ought to be on? Are where we were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, last year, are we still doing God's work, God's way? Or are we tempted tonight by the world to become spiritual dropouts? Listen to what he said. In the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. If Paul didn't have the gospel, he didn't have a message, did he? If he didn't have God's word, he had nothing to say. You see. But what about dropouts now? Can you describe a dropout to me tonight? We associate the term dropout with students in a school. The young people that are here tonight in school need to know that the end result of your education is to overcome a lack of knowledge and gain knowledge and prepare you for a career and for a life. But I want to tell you something tonight, my friend. The greatest knowledge we can have is to know Jesus Christ as our own personal Savior. You might be able to explain trigonometry to me. You might be explaining calculus to me, or you can explain anything in the sciences to me and tell me about history and everything else. But the greatest knowledge we can have is to know that Jesus Christ is in our hearts. There's nothing else we can have that'll settle that heartbeat and give us what we stand in need of when we're yearning tonight to know the Lord Jesus Christ, when we know we're lost and undone without Him tonight. If a young person drops out of school, they tell me that it will haunt them the rest of their lives. And every time you apply for a job and fill out a job application, one of the things they want to know is your level of education. And if you had any thought of dropping out of school, if you're in the wrong school, then get in the right school. But the best place you can be in is God's school. What about us believers now? I just want to speak about that for a minute. And boy, that time goes fast. Whew. Dropping out of church is more serious, and I can say truthfully tonight, more serious, and it brings the same results. It'll trouble you. If you're in a true church of the Lord Jesus Christ where God has placed you and you decide, oh, I'm going over here, look what they've got, but you don't have the truth and you don't have the Word of God explained, then what are you gaining by going to a playhouse? The other day, Nancy and I went out, a couple has visited our church, and they've come from a church that had over 3,000 in attendance on Sunday morning. But they could see through those things after being there for 7 years that it wasn't satisfying this, what you long for in your heart, what you need in your life. And when we visited them one night, I sat there in his home and I asked him, I said, have you ever been taught church truth? He said, no, I never have, preacher. That's sad. We Baptists need to tell our people about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And not everybody that takes the name is a Baptist, you see. In fact, I was talking today with Brother Adams, and we were talking about these churches that take their name off their building, take the name Baptist off the building. He said, I'm glad they did. And I am too. They weren't Baptists to begin with. That's what's important to us tonight. You see, the results of getting out of the truth and going somewhere else where you can play is ignorance. You don't understand what the Bible has to say because they don't preach it to you. They've got something smooth. And what people say today, prophesy unto us smooth things. I want to know what God's got to say. I don't want some smooth talking. I don't want some slick thing. I want to hear what God has to say. And it has a harmful effect on the dropout as well as others. And sometimes, my friend, listen to me, sometimes it'll affect those that you love the most when they're looking for something bigger and better. And every time you look for something bigger and better, it's going to disappoint you and hurt you. And you won't be satisfied. I wanted to write these verses down. I'll give you them. If you'll look at them later, I would appreciate it. Well, I'm going to read them anyway. Hosea chapter 4. Well, preachers are funny, aren't they? Hosea 4:1 said this. Listen how important the important things that God places on the Bible. He doesn't take it lightly. He regards His Bible higher and more important than His own name, the Bible said in the Psalms. But here, He said, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. That's what's wrong with America tonight. And I believe God's got a controversy with America. I can tell you my political stand on it, but that's not my message either, so I'll leave that alone. But I will say, America turns her back on Israel, God's going to turn his back on America. My people are destroyed, he said in verse 6, for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, he said, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. God help America. I think sometimes when people say God bless America, they don't realize the road America is on tonight. God bless America, but God, turn our people back to America, to God, and turn our nation back to God so our children will come to hear and understand the teachings of God's precious word. Don't be a spiritual knockout or dropout. I think sometimes when we drop out, we get knocked out, don't you? How about spiritual dropouts in Baptist churches? Look over in 2 Timothy again in chapter 4 and two verses, verses 9 and 10. Listen to what he said. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. There are those tonight who even come to church regularly. They even tithe. But if it comes to going out on visitation, they find something else to do. If it comes to the time when work needs to be done and there's a project to be done, and they say, well, I can't be there. So the work that needs to be done oftentimes in a church is done by a handful of people rather than the body as a whole. You see, something else about that and the importance of being here and have your ears and your heart tender to the Word of God is dropouts are slow to learn spiritual matters. You know why you believe church truth tonight? Why you believe what a Baptist church really is tonight? You know why it's a local visible body? You know why they've covenanted together to carry out the Great Commission? Have you seen that in the Word of God? I'm sure this church has been taught that. I've taught my church that. You see tonight, but those that are saved have never learned the things of God completely who go to a church where the truth is not stood for and not preached. We don't ruffle their feathers, they say. I don't want to cause disturbance among the people. That's what they tell us when they come around. Sometimes they hear more than they want, so they won't come back. But I can't do that and worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it because God sets the members in the body as it pleases Him. Might as well keep them coming to hear the Word of God, that they'll not be dropouts and leave and go by the wayside, you see, to some other place. They end up half their lives still being babes in Christ. Never understand the meat of the Word. Don't understand the doctrines of grace. Would grant a letter to just any Tom, Dick, and Harry church down the road and don't understand why you can't. And on it goes. Verse 8 tells us there's a crown for us. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Man, I'll tell you what. Better be looking for Jesus. He's going to be here before we know it. There's going to be any crown for us. Then as you look back in verse 7, then what we started out with tonight has got to be true in our lives. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Saved person never graduates from God's classroom. It continues on. Let me show you a couple verses in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 17 and 18, if you will. Or did I say 2 Timothy? I meant 2 Peter. I'm sorry. Maybe I did say that. 2 Peter 3, verses 17 and 18. We were talking in the hallway before the service tonight began, and some preachers were there. One of the things we said, every time God teaches us something from the Word of God, along with that thought or that truth, comes responsibility. He taught us the doctrines of grace. Then He taught us we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that what? That we should walk in them. And so, now in 2 Peter 3:17, He said, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. I'm burdened tonight that every one of you tonight that's saved by the grace of God won't fall away from the truth of God's Word. That God will find us faithful, and steadfast to what he's called us to. Because I'll tell you what tonight, if you look back where he's called us from, I wouldn't want to go back to where I used to be, would you? But look what he's done for us. Then he said this, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So then, the more we learn about the grace of God, the more that we learn about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and how it was His grace that put us in the church, as He led us and dealt with us, you see, through the teaching of His Word and the leadership of His Holy Spirit, we come to the realization truly how amazing grace is tonight. How wonderful God has been to us. All right. I'm going to close and just point out one or two. I've got about 5 minutes, I think. Point out one or two dropouts so we can watch out in our own lives. You may not need it. And if you feel you don't, then I'm thankful for you. And I pray that you'll never have to need it. But look at Demas here. He was a dropout. The Bible said he loved the present world. But you know, when you drop out, that's an identifier that you're a quitter. Demas was a quitter, wasn't he? He quit, you see. He left his first love, if he was saved, the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel, when someone quits, the gospel from them has been forsaken and forgotten. The world, and Satan is the god of this world, he knows how to take you away from the things that you're supposed to love and stand for and care about. And he knows how to entice you. And he'll do it. And that's why the Bible teaches us to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So loving this present world is often the cause of apostasy or falling away from the truths of the Bible and the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Demas loved the age that he lived in. What does the world tell you tonight? You're living in the best time man has ever known. Yeah. Murder on our nation's streets. Drug traffic has increased. Drive-by shootings that murder little children as they sit in their own home. And on, immorality is falling right through the sewer tonight. It's terrible. And people don't see any need to get married anymore. What's the use? What's the reason for it? I'll tell you what, the only reason a man can and be a partner with a wife is to marry her and take care of her the rest of her life and his life. That's what God wants us to do. That's what's important tonight. So he loved the age he loved him. They love it. And the things or the allurements of this world. And I'll tell you something else that's ruined our world is materialism. We've got it so good tonight, we never had it so good before. They say, well, we're in a recession. They've already tried to tell you you're out of the recession. And people are buying again at record pace, they say. And they say it's getting bigger and better. But you see, many are leaving the true churches and that don't have the feel-good activities. I want to go to church and I want to feel good. Their loyalty to the church the Lord placed them in simply doesn't exist. You see, many have become consumers. When they come and visit your church, they say, what can you do for me and my family? Preach the Word of God. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they'll not endure sound doctrine, but shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's the only message I have. It's the only message we have. Preach the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, the Bible said, and hearing by the Word of God. So I know everyone wants a good life for themselves, but I've had the best life I could ever have since 1957 when I came to know Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior. I'm so thankful for the man that led me to Christ. He was my pastor, Brother Eugene Clark. I'll tell you one thing, and I've got to quit right now, but I'll tell you this story. You're looking, folks, at a man that was a dropout. And I'm ashamed of it. But my pastor didn't quit. He came. And he came. And he came. He said, Bill, you need to be in church. Our oldest son was born with a staph infection. He brought it home from the hospital. And we got up, I got up with my wife and helped clean those blisters and treat them through the night. Every time he woke up, we treated him. And I said, Brother Clark, this baby's sick and we're not getting any sleep. I'll tell you what he did. He looked me straight in the eye, man to man. He said, Bill, let's get down on our knees right now and ask God to remove the hindrance in your life. I said, no, no. See, I tell you something else now. Dropouts in marriage will be those that run away from their own family and the responsibility that comes with it. I was taught and told, and when we hadn't gotten married in a Baptist church, I want you to understand tonight that we took some vows, not only before our fellow man, but before God. I couldn't say that that's right to just stay out of church. Because one thing he showed me every time he said something to me, he opened up the book. And I believe what the Bible said, don't you? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And so it wasn't long after that, not only were we going to church, but God saved our youngest son. God was blessing. He called me to preach, and I tried to run away from that. I'm being honest with you. For almost a year, one night he bothered me so much I couldn't sleep. I sat up in the bed. Nancy was lying there, sound asleep, and I said, I'll preach. Let me sleep. And that's the truth. Nancy said, what's wrong? We had a revival meeting, and one night after the service that night, she looked at me during the invitation, and after the invitation, she says, you're called to preach, aren't you? I said, get away. Be quiet. Why don't you shut up? I told her. But you know what? It's not a one-time surrender, is it, brethren? It's every day. And I don't regret for one minute to do what God wanted me to do. And have a privilege like this and just tell you from my heart to your heart tonight exactly what's on my mind and heart. I'm saying this to you tonight because I'm concerned and interested, and I'll come down. But God help us not to be a spiritual dropout. We don't need any more dropouts. We need people tonight who are on fire for Jesus Christ, that loved the one that loved them enough to die for him at Calvary, Brother Titus.